ago to talk about one of the positions of life, open education of resources, that I knew one of Lee's passions before I even met him. My first contact was through an email with reference to his wiki, and Lee was very consistent with his passion about open education of resources. So I thought you were
saying. Thanks, when Russell said that he had a PowerPoint, I got nervous because I was just going to not use anything, but I may as well.
I didn't have one.
I've just remembered that I had one from 2 years ago, so I'm going to recycle that.
Not an actual PowerPoint.
More or less.
So in the break time, I just kind of typed it up. Okay. There's three things I hope to talk about in the 10 minutes. Fly through this presentation here that was made, I think this was made for the leadership team to sell the idea of open education resources to the Fraser Polytechnic. And then point to two resources, if you wanted to go further, in developing skills needed for developing open education resources and practices. A lot of OER is the popular global sort of term, open education resource, but I've been attempting to add the practices to it as well, so that it's not just textbook focus, it's actually the practice of being open education. Okay, so it's been 2 years, so let me just remember here. There was a key point here that I wanted to talk about that makes up OER: accessibility, reusability, and interoperability. I think they are the three things that make an open education resource possible. One, and if we use Ruth's Wikibook as an example, it's accessible. You just go to Wikibooks and search for open education, anatomy and physiology of animals, or be given the URL. And as opposed to that, if you look at a learning management system like Blackboard or Moodle, a Google search won't reveal any content in there. You have to first sign in and then go through the various navigations. So as a teacher, you're trying to point your student to it. You'll have to give them the sign-in page and then in the email explain to them how they find that resource, which I'm not sure if that works too well. So that accessibility is blocked by the username and password thing, whereas the open resources like the internet, we can just point directly to it, deep into it, that page there, read that page. I don't even need to describe any navigation how to get there. I just link straight to it. The reusability is both in format and in legalities. The copyright we've talked a little bit about, such as Terry said, that if a work doesn't have a copyright statement on it, the default, unfortunately, over the last sort of 50 Disney years, has become that all rights are reserved. It used to be that you actually had to put the C in the circle symbol on something to say that you were reserving rights to copy, and otherwise if you didn't, it was a free-for-all. But that's kind of reversed around for various reasons. So now, if you don't put a C on it, then it's all rights reserved. So if you put this symbol on it, then that says it's a Creative Commons license. You might have noticed in the first slide here, there it is there. And creativecommons.org will explain what that license is, and it's internationally recognized, and it's available in many languages. And then it has a range of different licenses. So you might notice in this one is that there is a symbol there of a person, and that's just recognized as attribution only. It's a Creative Commons license, and your only requirement if you were to copy anything in there is to give attribution to the original author. There are some other licenses, such as the SA, which is a restriction to say that if you use it, then you have to share it back with the same license, and so on and so forth, non-commercial, etc. And the Tiger Polytechnic recommends to staff to use the Creative Commons attribution, the most liberal, the most free flowing of information, that is. And by default, all the marketing content, supposedly, and all of the other contracted work for a Tiger Polytechnic generally takes that license. And that's reflected in the intellectual property policy of the Tiger Polytechnic, and most recently the copyright policy. So that was reusability in terms of copyright. I find Ruth's book, I see the license on it, it tells me that I'm free to use it and I can take it away and do anything I like with it. Including making money from it. And a lot of people balk at that making money point, and unfortunately then they choose to put the non-commercial license on it. And I think that's very small-minded, because there's innovation that we can learn from when people make commercial gains from our work. They make commercial gains from it, we see how they do it, and that might stimulate ideas on how we might make commercial gains in it. The license doesn't change. But if we were to put non-commercial restrictions on it, we would lose the opportunity to see how people make commercial gains and lose the opportunity to learn about how we might do that in various ways. So it's, I think in my personal view, it's very good to encourage commercial use of the resources, particularly when we take the attitude of how much tax money is used to make what we are. Reusability in formats, it's hard to explain, but right now, I just put my campaign hat on, we're adopting Microsoft Office 2007. And you might be noticing that there's a format now called .dot. So if you're writing a Word document, .docx. That's a new format and it's creating interoperability problems. So the reusability relates to interoperability. And this is the reason why so many people dislike Microsoft, is they do this under the guise of making it all easy for us. But in fact, what they're doing is trying to corner markets into behaving with Microsoft products only, because now we can't use these other same products. So what I'd hope we would do is somehow, well, not roll out Office 2007. The board that represents New Zealand standards in computing rejected that format, but the Polytechnic has decided to roll out 2007. But so then what we must do then is somehow educate staff to, when you're saving a document in 2007, there's a little drop-down menu that asks you what format you'd like to save it in, and you just put that back to 2003. The default is to save it in 2007, and this creates difficulties for students who are not using 2007. They might be using Google Docs, Open Office, or they might want to copy-paste the work and somehow view it some other way. Such as the case that has come up, if you don't mind, I might cite the example in vet nursing, where some students are using OpenOffice, which is a free Office suite that does all the functionality plus more of Microsoft Office. And some students, in their wisdom, have decided to use this software rather than pay the $600+ for Microsoft Office. And they're sending in the open standard format that comes with that, and the teachers are using Office 2007. They can't open this competitor's format, and they're not aware of how to open that. It would be very easy for the teacher then to have the free software on their computer to open it, because it's free, downloadable, we can install it. Not very easy for a student to go and get the commercial software that the teachers are using. They have to pay the $600 or pirate the software. So it's a little bit of an inverse of what we're trying to do. But open education resources and starting to relate to practices. So we have to try and become more aware of those issues and adopt better practices. Given that so much of our information is being exchanged in formats now, still a lot of people are using print textbooks, and that's a pretty standard format, paper and print, but digital stuff. So that addresses also the interoperability of it. So it's just those 3 points again, and that's almost it. I'm under 10 minutes, that's great. Open education resources is primarily about the license to reuse the material and taking a very liberal-minded approach to that. The reusability of it is affected by the formats that we use in the license again. Also, the accessibility is that it's on the open internet. And I hope Russell might start looking at some of that YouTube world stuff, or that user-generated stuff, where students are going out there and finding all that's available to them. That is a result of the accessibility. And I'd like to say one final thing is, YouTube currently, for example, is the fourth most visited website in the world. And Wikipedia is the ninth, soon to be the eighth most visited website in the world. We are involved in our public understanding topics so that we adopt as subjects, but we're absent from both of those websites, largely. If we as lecturers aren't making sure the Wikipedia articles that are affecting our work aren't accurate, it's very easy for us to make sure they are. Just click edit and update it. Use those as our primary resources. Then I think we're fulfilling our role to the public in terms of making sure the information that they are accessing because it's so accessible compared to our closed resources, then I think we'd be doing a better job. Same goes for YouTube. It's very easy to create a video and put it on YouTube. You just need to develop a bit of skill and perspective on that.
And then there's a alternative side to that too, and that's that the clear target by keeping name becomes visible.
You mean there's a supporting, yeah. The marketing aspect.
Yeah, if we can leverage the audience that YouTube has.
Absolutely.
Which is incredibly difficult to do as a single website. Just sort of get yourself into a position where you're, you're getting the hits that you get from a site like that.
When I was in Ghana, I went to a university in the town of Winnabar, which is about the size of Wamaroo. And I bet no one in this room has ever heard of Winnabar. When I went to talk to the guys, they said, "Oh, you're from Otago Polytech. We know all about that. You put all your stuff on Wiki Educator, and that's really great." It works.
I got from somebody that knew about Otago Polytechnic in Scotland because of the chainsaw
We could do quite a lot. It just comes to mind our mistake, and my mistake, I think, has been encouraging the centralization of resources in Wiki Educator. The internet is all about distributing the resources widely for people to use in their preference. So if I'm a Facebook user, I'm not, but if I was, those chainsaw videos are available in Facebook, and it's very easy to make if I'm uploading to YouTube, that they're also available in Facebook. It's no extra work, actually, or if I'm using Clip. So we just need to spread the resources out so that whatever the people's preference is in terms of the internet use of resources, they can quickly adapt those resources. I think our mistake has been to centralise a lot. And it's this tendency we want our own server, we're going to put it all under our own server. We want our own Moodle, we're going to put it all under our own Moodle. We can still have those, but we distribute all of the resources out, and then just as the midwifery has done, one YouTube movie goes in there, one Blip TV video goes in there, an audio track of this website. Very easy to do. It's just that we need the skills and perspective, I think, to think of the internet as one platform, not multiple platforms. I think when you start thinking the internet that way, I think you know you're well on the track to the digital literacy that we might require. That's my rant.